Today's reading comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of these things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, please send your Spirit to show us Christ from the Scriptures today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in glory days. I want to help us see that today. I want us to see something of the magnificent greatness of our salvation. The amazingness of grace, the blessings and the privileges that it is to live when we do in history this side of the cross. Such a great salvation. The prophets longed to see it. The angels longed to look into it. But we, right now, are receiving it. It truly is glory days. The gospel of grace has been revealed. The blessings of grace are being received. It is glory days. And we need to be reminded of that because it doesn't always seem very glorious. I mean, life right now, you wouldn't describe it as glorious, would you? And even after coronavirus is over, it's still not easy or glamorous to be a Christian in this world. It never has been. And so Peter has written this letter to encourage us to be faithful under fire. He's going to show us, he's going to tell us how to do that. So from verse 13 and throughout the rest of the letter, he launches into a bunch of commands telling us how to do that. But before he tells us what to do, he gives us this, in the first 12 verses, a kind of barrage of blessings through this first part of the chapter, which we've been enjoying over the last few weeks. Before he tells us what to do, he wants to overwhelm us with the greatness of our salvation, a salvation which, as we saw last time, we are receiving, present tense. Look at verse 9. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As Jesus followers, there is this ongoing sense to our salvation. We are experiencing more and more of the blessings of what it means to be saved from sin and all of its consequences. So let's dive in and see how these couple of verses, 10 to 12, help us to see the greatness, increase our appreciation for our great salvation. Verse 10, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The prophets were the people of God who spoke the word of God to the people of God at various times in their history. There are loads of them through Old Testament times. There's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Zephaniah, even some prophets whose names don't end in Iah. But to be honest, it's not just those individuals. You can look at the whole of the Old Testament, the whole of the first part of our Bible, as the word of the prophets, the people of God speaking the word of God to the people of God. We tend to think of prophecy about, that's all about predicting the future. Prophecy, predicting the future. It wasn't just that, but Peter makes it clear that there was this kind of forward-leaning future aspect to the words that they spoke. Have a look again at verse 10. They spoke of the grace that was to come to you, i.e. to New Testament believers, to us. Their words, the prophets' words, reach beyond their own time. They go forward through time. What the prophets spoke was not like a daily newspaper, which is relevant today but out of date tomorrow. No, the words that the prophets spoke were both relevant in their own time but then fulfilled in the future. They spoke of the grace that was to come. The prophets then are signposts pointing towards coming salvation. In fact, verse 11 says it was the Spirit of Christ in them pointing towards the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. The whole of the Old Testament is inspired by the Holy Spirit to point towards Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who's described here as the Spirit of Christ, because the emphasis here is on his role in pointing towards the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. In particular, did you notice it's not just pointing towards Messiah, like some person, but something specific about the Messiah there in verse 11. The sufferings of Messiah and the glories that would follow. It's crucial for us to understand this. The whole of the Bible is about Jesus. The whole of the Bible funnels into the cross and flows from the cross. From the very first page of Genesis, we're building up to the cross. And in the story of the Bible, it doesn't take very long for the crisis to come. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, ever since sin ruined his perfect world and sin destroyed our perfect relationships with each other and with God, ever since that moment, the Bible story has been the story of an eager search for the serpent crusher, for the promised Messiah, a desperate longing for him to come, the one who's going to deal with all of our disobedience and fix our brokenness and restore our relationships and renew creation. Every chapter drips with anticipation, pointing in some way towards the cross of the Lord Jesus and the glories that would follow. Sometimes it happens through direct, clear statements, sometimes through the story of an individual, or the story of a family, or the story of a nation. But properly understood, all of those things are preparing us and pointing us towards the cross. So as we read the Old Testament now, we always need to make sure that we are kind of facing in the right direction. We need to orientate ourselves in the story, knowing where we're heading, where the signpost is pointing, knowing that we're moving towards the cross. Some parts of the Old Testament shout about Messiah. Others are a bit more subtle. But every story whispers his name. The Spirit of Christ, inspiring those Bible writers, points us to the sufferings of the Messiah, which culminates in his death on the cross in the place of sinners like me, and to the glories that would follow. His resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, the glories of his eternal kingdom, not just the glories that he receives, but the glories that come to us by faith in him. The glories that we right now are receiving and enjoying as those who are part of his family. These really are glory days. It's his suffering and the glories that would follow, which is the heart of the gospel. This is the grace, verse 10, the grace that the prophets speak about. This is the great salvation that we experience. It's through his sufferings and his glories that would follow that Jesus deals with our disobedience and fixes our brokenness and restores our relationships and renews creation. The cross and the glories that would follow is the very heart. All of the Old Testament is, in some way, part of the story that points us to the cross. In fact, the whole Bible revolves around the cross. Everything before the cross leads up to it, and everything after the cross flows from it. It's a kind of outworking of the cross, unpacking what it means that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, what it looks like to live in the light of the cross. The cross is not just one part of it, it's the whole point. The cross is not just one of many different storylines, it is the story. This is the great and glorious gospel of grace. This is the heartbeat of our great salvation. That's why we talk about it every week. And that's why I always plead with you, if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, you must come to the cross. See the significance of what Jesus has done and enter into this great salvation by trusting in him. So the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, they are speaking of coming grace, pointing to Christ, his cross, and his crown. And they're clearly super interested in it. Look at verse 10 again. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, what do? They searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit in Christ was pointing, the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing them. These prophets spoke of Christ, but they themselves didn't have all the answers. They each contributed a bit of the puzzle, but they couldn't see the whole picture. They realized, though, that even though they didn't see everything, they realized that what they were talking about was really precious and glorious. They knew that the Spirit was inspiring them to speak about Messiah, and they understood that Messiah was the center that all of their hopes and all of their dreams were pinned on. All of God's promises revolved around this man, the Messiah, the center of their hope, the pinnacle of God's salvation plan. And so they were desperate to find out more. Verse 10, they searched intently and with the greatest care. This isn't man looking. Do you know what I mean by man looking? If you ask a man like me to look for something, then I'll go, no, can't find it, it's not there. That's not what we're talking about here. It's much more careful. They searched intensely, the kind of way that you would look for a lost car key rather than a lost hairband. You know, they saw the value, how precious it was, the stuff that they were searching for. Can you see their interest, their desire as they eagerly investigate? Who's it going to be? When's it going to be? What's it going to look like? Where's it going to be? Oleg Gordievsky was a British agent secretly working undercover in the KGB in Moscow. As you can imagine, it was a pretty dangerous thing to be doing. And communication with his British handlers was difficult because he was always being watched under surveillance from the KGB. And so if he felt like he was about to get caught, if he felt like he needed to leave, he had a pre-arranged signal to trigger an escape plan with the MI6 officers who were there undercover as diplomats in Moscow. So what he'd have to do was this. Gordievsky would need to stand outside a particular bread shop at 7:30 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, and he would need to carry with him a plastic bag from Safeway with a red S on it, and he needed to be wearing a grey cap and grey trousers. That was the signal. And then to acknowledge that the sign had been seen, the MI6 officer watching would walk past him with a green Harrods bag, eating either a Kit Kat or a Mars bar. This was the only way that the escape plan could be triggered. And so for years, every Tuesday night, the MI6 officers would watch carefully, searching the crowd to see if the circumstances had been fulfilled, because then they would know that the time had come. That's what it was like for the prophets, looking for just the right set of circumstances to come together to fulfill these prophecies about Messiah and signal that the time had come. Desperate to find out more about this glorious grace. And so they searched through the scriptures. They searched through their own prophecies. They searched through the circumstances of their time, yearning for the day when their words would be fulfilled. But look at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you. They were not serving themselves, but you, New Testament believers, us. As the prophets dug deep into the glories of the coming Messiah and his great and gracious salvation, the Spirit made it clear to them, do you know what? It's not going to happen in your day. The stuff you're talking about is going to happen in future generations. And then for them, those guys, your words are going to be a real blessing to them. Your words are going to be a real rich blessing to those who are privileged enough to live after Messiah has come. What an awesome thought this is. The ancient words found in the Old Testament were actually written for our benefit. Jeremiah knew that he was speaking to you. As well as their first hearers or their first readers, the prophets were aware that their words held a significance that would only truly come to light after Messiah had arrived. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't see the full picture. But this side of Jesus, we can read what they wrote and it's crystal clear what they're talking about. The puzzle is complete. I hope this gives us a fresh appreciation for the Old Testament. You might remember that our prayer this year is that every man, woman, boy and girl would regularly be meeting Jesus in his word. And perhaps some of us struggle a bit with the Old Testament. Maybe we don't really read it. And if we do, it just seems like just so far removed from, it just feels like it is being written for someone else. But no, it's been written for you, for our benefit. Even the Old Testament writers knew that they were writing for our benefit. The Old Testament is not just a boring prequel for the hardcore fans. It is essential viewing for us to understand the richness and the beauty and the full significance of the New Testament truths that we love so much. It's not always as immediately obvious in the Old Testament, but we can be sure that we will meet Jesus there if we're looking for him. Let's be like those Old Testament prophets, searching intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out more about the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Not man looking, not just a kind of surface glance, well, that'll do, but intently with the greatest care. Instead, let's be like children at a chocolate egg hunt, searching under every stick and every stone because we know there is treasure to be found. Imagine your Bible, that there is gold leaf between every single page. Well, you wouldn't just skip a chunk, would you, and just turn to the New Testament? You would turn over every page because you know there is treasure to be found. There is Jesus to be found on every page. And so as you read the Old Testament, look for him. Ask yourself, when you're reading some of those passages, like, well, I have no idea how that points us to Jesus. But ask yourself, okay, how does that, what part does this play in the grand story which ultimately points to Jesus, to his cross, and to his crown? If you don't know where to start with that, then please do get in touch with either your small group leader or get in touch with me. We'd love to help you. There's some great resources available to help us read the Old Testament in the light of the cross. You see, we live in glory days. It's such a privilege to live here. We live here. We live at a time in history where not only can we read the prophet predicting what was to come, but we can also read the New Testament, which explains what has come, what has happened. And this same gospel message has been preached to us. That's what it says in verse 11. Verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Notice it's the same things. The prophet spoke of these things, and now these same things have been preached. The prophets looked forward to talk about the cross. The preachers here in the New Testament look backwards to talk about the cross. The very same message spoken by the same Holy Spirit. It has always been one consistent, united story. The glorious gospel of grace, which is all about the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Faithful teaching of the Bible is always consistent with the message of the whole Bible. We must be very wary of teaching that takes verses out of context to serve a message which is inconsistent with the message of the cross. The Bible is not a disjointed set of quotes. There are 66 books, but they all find their place in one grand story all about this great salvation. A salvation which is so great and so beautiful and so magnificent that look at verse 12, look at the last phrase there. Try and wrap your head around this. Even angels long to look into these things. They long to look into these things. What an amazing statement that is. Doesn't that give you a sense of how glorious this salvation must be? That even the sinless angels in heaven, They want to peer down and take a look as verse 9 happens, as we are receiving the end result of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The angels long to watch on as grace takes a grip on people. The angels long to see the glories of Christ's kingdom grow. They long to see Christians like us experiencing more and more of the greatness of our salvation. What a glorious of salvation it must be. The prophets longed to see it. The angels longed to look into it. But we right now are receiving it. The gospel of grace has been revealed. The blessings of grace are being received. And so, you know, even when times are rough, even when the pressure is on, we can truly say that we really are living in glory days. Let's worship our God together in prayer. Our Father, we praise you for such a great salvation. We thank you for Jesus, the centerpiece of your salvation plan. Jesus, who is the gospel. Jesus, the fountain of grace. Show us the full, rich, beautiful tapestry of our salvation from the whole of your word, and help us to glory in our Redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.